How many more of these episodes do you think we still have here?
Probably a good amount. I don't think we are ever out of ideas to talk about.
I mean, mainly like physically here, where we're sitting at the moment
Oh,
in this office.
because we're selling everything
Yeah.
and moving.
Yep.
I'm gonna bet, because we do one every 2 weeks, is it?
I
Is it
think so, yeah.
weekly? How
About
often do we
that schedule.
2 weeks? Okay. So I'd say maybe like
Six more?
six more episodes, yeah.
It's a long time.
That's 3 months.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, no, okay, I'd give it 2 months then. It's like four episodes.
You know how inconvenient this would be if, like, during like the Christmas holidays of traveling and everything, someone's like, "Oh yeah, we'd love to buy it."
That would be inconvenient, yes.
That'd probably be like literally the worst time for it to come up.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody would buy a house during the holidays. I'm gonna throw that out there.
They might.
I hope they won't. Go spend time with your family and your friends during the holidays. Don't buy a house.
You could say it'd be a pretty dumb idea to do that.
Yes, it would be a dumb idea, Devin. And that segue was even dumber.
Hey, I think I'm the king of these segues in pretty much all of
No,
these
you're the king
episodes.
of dumb ideas, is what you're the king
Oh,
of.
I'm the king of dumb ideas? Have you heard any of the ideas that you've proposed in the past 2 years?
That's fair. That's
Do we
fair.
need to talk about your time system?
My Bausk standard time system?
Yeah, I hope nobody ends up using that ever.
Okay, I do have to talk. If we're on the subject of stupid ideas, I gotta lay out Bausk standard time. Everyone says that it's such a stupid idea, which it is, but it's the metric system of time.
I mean, when you're comparing it to how time currently is, so like let's talk about the current calendar at the moment.
Okay.
It's not that intelligently laid out.
No.
Have you ever seen that one, like the viral tweet that goes around that's like,
Like how you can readjust the calendar so like every day is like 30 days and then you have a leap day.
yeah, you have one leap day at the end of the
Yeah.
year. That's like such a great system for dates.
Right.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your time idea, and we'll get into that in a minute. I think it was just time, right? You didn't really, did you account for days and like
Yes,
months on it?
it accounts for
So it's
everything.
like a full
The entire
calendar.
calendar
So it's
year.
a replacement for the Gregorian calendar.
The what? The gargoyle calendar?
The calendar that we all use is called the Gregorian calendar.
Gregorian
Yeah,
calendar. Okay, I
that's what it's
didn't
called.
know that, but yes, it would be replacing it with a much worse name, Bausk Standard Time.
Wouldn't that be confused as being just like a time zone, though?
No. It's all time.
No,
All time is
but
Bausk
you're
Standard Time.
titling it like we're on the East Coast,
Right.
so we're on Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
There's no country that runs on
Well,
Bausk Standard Time.
currently I exclusively can run on Bausk Standard
No,
Time.
you can't.
I could.
You've missed so many meetings in the past couple years as a result of trying to run on Bausk Standard Time because nobody else uses
It
it.
has some quirks to it, but it's getting worked
It
out.
has compatibility quirks, literally any other time system.
Correct. That's because the current time system is so bad.
Okay. Like I said, I agree. Having random amounts of days in a month
Yes.
definitely doesn't make sense.
Yes.
What does yours do that's so
Okay,
much better?
so explain to me this. Similarly to, let's talk about like Celsius and Fahrenheit, right?
Yes.
Freezing temperature in Celsius is what?
Zero.
Zero, right? What is it in Fahrenheit?
32.
32. Why? Why is it 32?
Well,
Just a stupid arbitrary
we
number.
already know the metric system's better. The US
Okay,
is like the only
okay.
country that
So
doesn't use
if the
metric.
metric system's better, then obviously the entire world currently operates on like 1, 10, 100, 1,000. It's like those are good numbers that people know.
Yeah, I don't think the time numbers were picked just out of nowhere, though. I think they're picked to sync up with like the
Right,
sky and everything.
right, right. But here's the thing. There are 24 hours in a day, right?
Yes.
Because someone said that there were. But 24 hours, I found out, are based on the fact that there are 60 minutes within an hour.
Yes.
And there are 60 times 24 equals one day. But then that breaks all the way down to seconds, and it goes all the way down.
I
And one like
mean,
a second is based on.
you could also argue the fact that the amount of hours in day also isn't accurate to the atomic level. That's why we have leap seconds every now and then.
Right. But a second itself, the actual definition of a second, is based on like the amount of rotations around an atom that an electron has or something. It's some very strangely arbitrary.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's how like the actual definitions of time are like defined is molecular science.
Interesting.
It's ridiculous. It's a very strange way of doing it. But when you look at it, there are many other things that you could choose to base a second off of. But if you change a second, it changes how long a minute is. If you change how long a second is, you know, etc.
So what is your idea, Kyle?
So there is a way that I have figured out that you can have 10 hours in a day because an hour is just longer.
Okay.
Okay. Within each hour, there are 100 minutes. And within each minute, there are 100 seconds.
Okay.
Sounds pretty simple, right?
No, but continue.
Well, 100 seconds, you count all
the
way up.
In theory, it sounds simple, but I know your explanation is not going to make it simple.
It makes perfect sense. But as a result of that, what it does is it makes every month was... I don't remember what it actually broke down to. I used to have this all written down at one point, but it comes out to like 100 days per year.
Okay.
100 hours or 10 hours per day, 100 minutes per hour, 100 seconds per minute. And so it standardizes time across everything.
Why not just have 100 hours per day and break it down by 10 there?
Well, because then what we know of and use as a measuring system for a minute mm-hmm. would become so short that it wouldn't really be relative to too much. It wouldn't be a useful scale of measurement.
If there's 10 hours a day, wouldn't that just be extremely long hours? Like, in your case, like, what would one Bausk hour be equivalent to in our, like, current hours?
I believe it's equivalent to, like, a little over 2 hours.
Okay. So not...
It's not absurd.
It's still doubling, though, so it's
because you
it's
get extra minutes out of it, though. That's the difference. So, like... You would like between sunrise and noon mm-hmm. is like 5 hours.
Okay.
Or sorry, not sunrise and noon. Sunset and noon.
Sunset and noon?
No. Midnight and noon. I'm dumb. I can't track my own thing.
Twilight?
No, midnight to noon. So like each half day is 5 hours.
Okay.
Which means like from the point in time that the sun rises to noon would be like a quarter of a day.
So how would time be written in this form? It's still hours, minutes, seconds.
Right. It would just be like 10 hours.
Okay.
So on a clock, it'd be like up to 10. And then the minutes would go up to 99. And then seconds would go up to 99.
You raise the chance of something like this happening is less than the US switching to metric?
Correct. I completely am aware of that. But think of it. So if you're looking at a clock and it's counting up and it's like 89... 90, 91, 92. It goes all the way up to 99, and then it goes to zero, but a one moves into the minute slot.
Okay.
It counts up by a minute. It makes sense. Because right now it goes 59, 1.
Unless it's a leap second, in which it goes 59, 60, 1.
Well, we'll get into leap seconds probably never, because no clocks actually are tracking those.
They didn't used to, and that's why computers would crash when that was a thing.
Yes.
That's fun.
So either way... The visual of time becomes a much more acceptable thing in this format.
I suppose.
Because it goes all the way up to 99, and then instead of just going to zero again and arbitrarily saying, that's a minute, it then pushes that digit to the left, and you have 100. So it would say 100 seconds is a minute, and then it keeps going, and then you have 200s. It's like a timer in raw seconds rather than minutes, seconds, hours.
So what's this based off of to keep it in sync with, like, a day then? Is it still based off the same thing originally of what a second is, kind of, in theory?
Yes, it's a different molecule that would be tracked for this time scale.
So essentially seconds don't really change in duration much. Or they do, but it's...
What is considered a second changes in duration.
Would things like nanoseconds and milliseconds still be the same?
No.
So, because
it breaks all the way down.
Because at the moment you have 1,000 milliseconds in a second.
Right. And but that's because it's chosen to be that way.
Okay, so so how many milliseconds would be in a second then?
It would still be the same.
It would still be 1,000.
The division would still be the same of those.
It's just changing what the core amount is, but it'd still be a full day. It would still sync up totally
right, fine. Exactly. Kind of so midnight to midnight is 10 hours. Just purely because you say it is, it can be that way.
So let's talk about time zones then.
Okay.
Would we have more time zones then? And would those time zones, or would we have less? Because are time zones still based on just raw hours at that point?
Because we have 24 hours in a day, it requires more time zones. If anything, it would make time zones worse.
Because they wouldn't.
Because you'd have like half hour time zones or like quarter hour time
those do
zones.
Exist right now. They're just not. Just for the sake of simplicity, we don't have to discuss this.
Right. I think you. Because the United States right now is split into four or five time zones.
I want to say it's four. It's
four main ones. You have West.
No, it's
Mountain,
yeah,
Central and East, right?
Yeah.
What is West?
It's Coast? Pacific.
Pacific. That's the one.
For some reason.
Pacific, Mountain,
Central. You know how much cooler it would be if we were on Atlantic Standard Time?
That would be kind of cool. I would like Atlantic Standard Time.
Unless, is that a time zone? It actually could be.
It might be, if there's honestly.
Because like, I know Canada, like...
Goes a little bit further to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That might be a thing. So, either way, if it's split it right now into four main time zones, and you reduce the amount of hours in a day by more than half, because it goes 24 to 10, then you're going to have, like, you would probably have two main time zones in the United States.
Okay.
Which would likely simplify things, at least, to some degree.
It would simplify...
But then you're going to have people more out of sync from each other.
I would say it would simplify things, you'd have more... I feel like we'd have more, like, half-hour time zones. I feel like we'd have the same amount of time zones, but there'd just be half-hour ones at
right,
that point.
Right, yeah.
Which would be more accurate, because, like you said, an hour in your time is about... we'll say 2x normal. I know it's not exact, but about that. So it would make sense to just
have half. But on a clock, it would be to the 0.5. You could literally do it as a half. It would go down to 50s.
Would we have analog clocks in this time, Kyle?
What do you mean?
Like, you talk about how a digital clock would work. Would we have analog clocks still?
Yes, but it would take one day to hit 10. You wouldn't have 12 twice.
Yeah.
It would be one day that goes all the way around and hits 10 once and resets.
So would a circle as an analog clock still be efficient then?
Yes. It would be perfectly efficient. I don't know why would it not be efficient?
It's cool. You could have like little like sunrise and sunset designs on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was standardized.
Yeah, because it would be like how a 24-hour clock is viewed right now.
Yeah.
Except 24 is such a stupid, arbitrary number. There's no reason for it.
It's double 12.
It's double 12. 24 is double 12. Clocks go up to 12 because it's too high to do 24 in one day. It just wouldn't make sense. And so by doing it this way, you just eliminate all of these arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
And you standardize it across everything. It's the metric system of time.
The first step, I think, is getting the U.S. to be on a metric system.
Yes, for sure. I don't think this would ever be actually adapted. You need to do it on, like, planetary level.
The world is going to come to a point where we're going to have to adjust our calendar system. Because, like you said about planets,
mm-hmm.
if a whole Mars colony thing in the future is going to become a thing,
right.
There's going to need to be some universal way of measuring time.
Correct. And basing it on... the Earth going around the sun is a pretty selfish way of doing that if you're living on Mars.
It's fine of using it as a baseline, but there still needs to be some better established, like...
Yeah, because otherwise then time is going to be out of sync on other planets. Because if you base it on how often you see the sun, let's say, so like, midnight to noon, exact polar opposite angles on your planet... That time that it takes Mars to do that is going to be either shorter or longer than Earth. So they're going to have either different months, they're going to have different days, they're going to have more days in a week. I forgot to mention that there were 10 days in a week.
I mean, yeah, that kind of makes sense based off the rest of the units you said, though.
Yeah, so it all broke down that way. But, like, you're going to end up out of sync. Like, January 1st here is not going to line up as January 1st on Mars, unless you add or subtract days or months.
Yeah, there's two ways I could see it happening. One, like, really lazy way out and one proper way. Mm-hmm. The proper way is there's some universal time metric that's come up with. I have no idea what that would be. I'm not smart enough to think of something like that.
Yeah.
And the more lazy way is, well, Earth and Mars just get their own ways of telling time, and there's just never a compatibility between the two. I can see both happening.
Yeah, I can see both. That's how time zones work. There's still no universal time on our own planet.
Well, it doesn't make sense to have universal time on our planet when it is based around the sun's rotation.
But why? Answer me why. So, you know what? I'm gonna tangent here
because real quick. Because we don't have four suns, Kyle.
No. Hear me out real quick. So, we live in Florida.
Yes.
We know that at noon our time, the sun is up in the middle of the sky, right?
Yes.
But you also know that at noon central time, the sun is still going to be in the middle of the sky for you. Right? Mm. That's how time zones work. That's what they're set up for. Why don't we just have a time and people know that at noon the sun is going to be like just over the horizon for them?
I don't, because that's not...
People could just be taught that though based on where you live. Like, oh, you live in California and it's noon on the East Coast? Guess what? It's noon in California too, but you're just used to the sun just being like right over there in the sky. It's not above you. It's like over there. If you were just taught that from the day you were born, in schools, everybody understood that. And so, like, at noon Eastern time, let's say, it's still noon in Australia, but it's pitch black outside. They just know that. They know to expect that.
Well, I feel like the current time system was developed in a way when the world wasn't as connected as it was now.
For sure.
I feel like if everyone went back and kind of redeveloped it,
yeah,
it would be more similar to that.
It was literally based on sundials.
Because when you're dealing with like international business or clients or anything like that, yeah, having one standard time, just say 5 p.m. easier.
Yeah, everybody knows when it's 5 p.m. because it's 5 p.m. globally.
Yeah.
It would make so much more sense.
Yeah.
So it's...
It would make traveling a lot more annoying though. You'd have to be like, oh, so what time does the sun rise here?
Well, I mean... Yes, and you can look into that, but at the same time, like, for instance, travel already is complicated. If I leave here and fly to Seattle, that's a, like, 7-hour flight, but I'm going to land at, like, the same time that I left.
No, you're gonna land plus 4 hours from when you left.
Okay, but it's still a 7-hour flight.
Yes.
So, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but you're not landing at the same time.
Okay, so if I took a 4-hour flight back across time zones... Depending on how fast your plane goes, you can make it happen. Either way.
What type of supersonic plane are you flying?
You could take a jet, fly backwards across time zones, and move faster than time is going.
I'm not going to be paying for that jet.
It's fast when it happens, and that's the problem. If I could just say, this is a 7-hour flight, I'm leaving here at noon, and I land there at 7 p.m., wow, that makes so much freaking sense.
Yes, it does. That's why
so much sense.
That's why I said if it was developed with international business and stuff in mind, then yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like when they were back doing their sundials, they weren't considering the fact that people would need to be having a phone call across the globe.
I mean, yeah, that's probably
simultaneously.
True. That's probably true. Either way, I think it's a cool idea. I need people to stop telling me that BST is a bad idea.
Kyle, what time was it? How late were you staying up that one night when you thought about all this?
Oh, this was actually developed in an office at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning, which could have been like sun directly over my head at that time if we were on BST, but you know, obviously it's not because we're not. But it was late. I hadn't slept. And I was thinking about time. I was editing a video or something like that. And if you pull up video editors, a lot of them run in 100-second like timers.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm looking at our audio program that does that right now.
Right, exactly. And so I was like, why doesn't normal time run like this? It would make so much sense. Yeah, so that, yeah, I was very sleep deprived, but I thought it was a pretty good idea.
Makes it really annoying to find out how long you've been recording, because I have to sit here. I have to multiply the number by 2, then divide it by 60.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
It's really annoying to do.
So that's my really dumb, smart idea.
Didn't you also have another really dumb time-related idea at one point, too?
Yes.
What is it with you and time?
Time is such a funky thing. I love the concept of time because it's such a finite thing that we've decided to measure.
Yes.
Like, but for our own individual selves, it is a capped thing. So we have a limited amount of it, which inherently makes it valuable to us.
Yes. And here we are choosing to record a podcast.
It is the most valuable resource on the entire planet because everyone wants more of it.
False. That would be printer ink.
Arguably true. Yeah. We have printer ink that just showed up today. It's expensive. I hate that. But, like, you always hear people saying, like, even in movies and stuff, it's like, oh, I've got billions of dollars, but I can't buy more time.
Not yet, you can't.
In a strange way to view it, because time has such a strange value to us and such a high value to us, the only way to improve your time or to feel like you have more time is to increase what you are able to do with your time.
Yes.
So let's say, for instance, we run a company. We run multiple companies.
Do we?
But we need to work for 8 hours of the day. Because we work 8 hours a day, we don't have time to clean. Okay. So we hire a maid service to clean for us, which allows us to use our time for something more productive that has a higher value than whatever we are paying for that maid service.
Yes.
Because your time has a value to it. And you can measure that value based on how much money you could make spending your time on something in the meantime.
That would then convert to being something more.
Which would convert to money, which would grow, you know, whatever. So you trade your time to earn this paper currency, dollars, cents, wherever you live, whatever it is. And then you use that to trade for someone else's time. When you buy a car, you're paying for the time of the people who mined the resources, the people who set up the businesses to sell them, to transport them, to put them together, to figure out how to make a car, to put everything in the blueprints for the car, like the advertising, all of it, you're paying for someone else's time.
Yes.
You're not just buying a product, you are paying for the time that goes into making it.
It's like the similar saying of like when you're hiring someone to do a job, you're not paying for the raw time it takes them to do that job for you.
Right.
You're paying for the time it took them to do it, plus all the experience that they have.
Right, getting exactly. It gives you a better value for what you're paying for.
Yeah.
I could clean our house in 5 hours, let's say.
But the cleaning service does it in like an hour and a half.
But in that 5 hours, I know how much money I could make. I know the value of 1 hour to me.
Mm-hmm.
And for every individual, that's going to be different. I mean, you can look at people and it gets broken down all the time. Like, oh, the CEO of McDonald's earns $7,000 an hour.
Is that it?
It's a pretty big number.
I mean, it is, but I'd almost expect to be more. Like, they're...
That's the CEO. We don't necessarily know the equity shares and all that, because that plays a much different part. But, yes, $7,000 an hour is approximately...
I wonder if that $7,000 is paycheck, or if that does consider, or if that does count, like, stock options and all that kind of stuff, too.
I would assume it's annual salary, because I know that they make millions on salary. So I don't know what the actual breakdown is, but...
That must be a fun bill at tax time.
For him, you know, let's say you make $7,000 an hour, you know that if you spent even 2 hours of your life in a delay at the airport,
yep,
you have just missed out on $7,000 or $14,000 of revenue.
Yes.
That you could have otherwise made spending your time towards something. Now the cost of a private jet doesn't really sound too ridiculous.
Well, yeah, no. We watched a video about this a while ago. Mm-hmm. Walmart, for example, what they'll do,
right,
is because they have regional managers that'll fly around to different states in the United States.
Right.
Instead of flying public, because what it would take them to do. So say they wanted to reach 5 different locations.
Uh-huh.
We'll say California, Washington, Minnesota. And we'll just say Nevada as well too. So okay. That's 4, but just,
and then back to California. Yeah.
No, back to, I want to say their headquarters in New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Like that. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Either way. So they're a bunch of different time zones, a bunch of different stops.
Right.
Flying public and doing something that route that would take them 2 to 3 days to do that fully.
Okay. That makes sense. To do that layovers, hotel rooms, all that.
Doing it private means they could leave morning of,
uh-huh,
and get back same day.
Jeez, okay.
Just so, because they're not dealing with public scheduling, yeah, they're not dealing with delays, they're not dealing with anything else. They, right, can do, exactly, that entire route in one business day.
That's crazy.
Because the value of them paying for that private jet is worth saving that extra 3 days of not having those people at the office.
Right, exactly. So, and that's the thing. Your employees have money too. Your staff members have time value as well.
Yeah.
So it's knowing what that value is. And like I said, for everyone, it's going to be different. You know, if you're working a really menial job, you know, something that doesn't take a whole lot of skill, you know, doesn't take a whole lot of brain power, you can just kind of mindlessly do it. You know, if you sit in an office and you just copy and paste emails all day, I don't know if anybody actually gets paid to do that, but
I'd imagine that they would. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's definitely somebody out there that probably does, but
there's still people that there's still jobs out there for just data entry, for just looking at paper and just typing data in Excel spreadsheets.
That's so sad. I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's kind of sad. So yeah, that's what I'm using as an example of like a menial job, right? Like pretty much anybody can do that.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of skill associated with it. So inherently, as a result of that, your time doesn't have as much value to that company.
By the way, quick notice, we're not looking to insult anybody here. We understand that there's people that need to do these jobs.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's just purely reference purposes towards the argument of what we were talking about before.
And for some people, let's say like, you know, if you're retired and you just want to be bringing in some extra money and like that's the kind of job that you want to go to, or if you're 15, 16 and you're getting like a starter job, then that's perfect. Put a little extra money in your pocket, go for it and do it. And, you know, there are some people that, you know, are really never going to gain a higher skill set. And that's the reality of the world. You can't have people that are working the really, really high-end jobs, really, really qualified, really crazy educated without also equally having as many or more people on the lower end of that scale.
Well, that's been the recent argument for like minimum wage and all that being raised.
And I get that. And so it's crazy because it runs into such a difficult argument of you increase minimum wage, you increase the cost of everything.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. It's going to happen. Everything is going to go up. And in that point in time, you've done nothing. You have effectively done absolutely nothing, because if the ratio goes up across the board, all you're doing is putting yourself in the same situation but with bigger numbers.
Before we get too far into that, did you finish your last point? Because you just kind of tangented mid-sentence.
Oh, I mean, yeah, kind of. As far as like time is money, it's the value of like we trade things. Our time for other people's time.
Well, yes, but what were you saying? Like, you were calling currency literally useless the other day when we were originally talking about this. You said,
The entire
point of this discussion.
Well, so currency, I don't say it's useless.
You literally said it was useless.
I think it's a way of, in some way or another, you have to track the time that you have spent, whether that be literally our pieces of paper that say like 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it is.
Or $1, $2.
Yeah, you could say it that way too, however you want.
It's what effectively, we do say.
What you are doing when you work, you put your time into something and you get money out of it, you have traded your time for that money.
Yes.
And the single best way to increase the value of what you are able to get out of that time, of increasing the money return from your time, so increasing the literal value of your own time to other people, is by using your time to help other people use their time better. Sounds kind of crazy, right?
I just prefer the normal kind of currency system
that we
have.
But that's how it works. That's how it works. Because let me break this down real quick. So let's say I'm a home builder. I build homes.
Please don't build my home. I don't trust you and your any tools whatsoever.
But I've got experience. I've got 20 years of experience. We've been doing this for years.
No, you haven't.
I'm using an example here, Devin. Damn it.
You've been sitting in your office all for the past week. When have you been building homes?
I'm going to reach across this table and smack you. So if you pay me to build you a house because I have the team, I have the skills, I know how to do it, you are saving yourself the time of learning how to do it. You're saving yourself the time of actually doing it, of sourcing other people that might be able to help you do it better. By going straight to the top of, hey, here's a guy with a team that can do everything, you cut out so many pieces of time that are wasted. And it's those pieces of time that change depending on how much you value your own time.
Yes.
So, for instance, you could go straight to the top and say, hey, you have a team. You guys know all how to build a house. You can do the laws and the legal and the paperwork and everything else for me. That's what happens when you walk into like a model home and say, hey, you're a builder. Let's do this. Alternatively, you can go and source each individual person yourself. You can find people that do construction. You can find people that do walls. You can find.
But then you're spending all this time to source it all. You're spending
the time to do it. So if saving the money is important to you, or saving and spending the time because your time value isn't high enough to make it worth your while to do that, then it makes more sense for you to go out and source all of those people individually.
You know, I really didn't know you were a home builder, Kyle. That really is so cool.
You're missing my point here.
No, I do have one question.
Yes.
Can I pay you with exposure to build my house?
Okay, so that's a valid argument and a valid question, actually. So what, and here's the crazy, crazy piece of it. We're in influencer marketing. It's a huge piece of what we do, which is quite literally paying someone for exposure.
Yes. Except the fact that that works in that case.
Right.
It does not work in majority of cases, though.
In the majority of cases, yes. But let's say,
like, if someone came up to me and said that they want us to develop a website for them.
Right.
And then said they're going to pay us with exposure. Mm-hmm. I would laugh at them.
Okay. Depending on their size. Let's say, because to us, there's a certain level that it would make it worth it.
In pretty much all cases, I would laugh at
that. Almost all cases, but it depends on your industry. It depends on what you're selling.
Well, that's why I said.
And it depends on your client.
That's why I said me.
Yeah, yeah. For us, for you directly, web development, that's a business to business market for the most part.
Yes.
But if you sold t-shirts and you knew that, I don't know, James Charles has 11 million subscribers on YouTube and he can get you a million views of advertising to your company, and all you have to do is put in a $5,000 value of making a website, that starts to sound like kind of a good deal. It depends on what you, again, what you value your own time at.
You just overly explained what just advertising is.
Yes, but it fits with my point. It's what I'm saying. It all wraps back to the value of an individual's time.
I'm going to go ahead and just keep our normal currency system. I understand what you're talking about.
The currency system reflects what I'm saying, though.
I know.
Your currency is your time.
What I'm
your
saying money is your time. I'm going to take all this explanation just whoosh, back to just currency. That's how I think about it. Currency and how it directly affects my time.
But your time affects your currency, too, you know, Devin. Uh-huh. It's all one big feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
The more currency you have, the more time you can spend on earning more currency. Which it wraps back to the old saying of the rich get richer, because the rich can literally pay everybody to do anything for them.
Yes.
If somebody like is making $7,000 an hour, the last thing they want to do is spend 20 minutes folding clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just pay someone to do it that it's going to cost you $100?
Yeah.
That makes so much more sense when you start seeing why people are willing to pay these absurd amounts of money for things, because it doesn't affect them. It actually benefits them to do it. And I think a lot of people that say like, oh, you're over excessively spending on luxury items like a maid service, or, you know, people that have butlers, even like cooking dinner, chefs, private chefs.
Okay. Private, I just want to say, if I got to the point, a private chef is like one of the first things I'd invest in.
Super dope. Honestly,
that would be amazing. It's
one of my high goals.
So people just like walk into the kitchen and be like, all right, I'm in the mood for X, Y, and Z tonight. And I don't want to make
it. It's always going to be Kraft mac and cheese boxed.
Kyle, that's it. You.
I'm going to have a private chef that only makes me boxed Kraft mac and cheese.
That's just a fancy way of just referring to your mother.
That's so accurate, though. I love Kraft mac and cheese.
She always makes it perfectly.
It is. It's good. The key is a little hint of vanilla milk.
Ew.
Yeah.
No.
Absolute. Amazing.
In no circumstance that ever fire. Correct.
Absolute fire.
Though I do want to thank you, Kyle.
Ah.
You gave me an amazing segue to the next topic by saying that.
Did I?
if you want to talk about more dumb ideas.
Oh no, this is already bad. I hate it.
I feel like I really do love discussing ideas in this podcast.
Yes.
And I feel like the two dumb ideas we talked about so far, well, they're not so dumb. They're
outlandish.
You know when you feel something that's really, really cold, it almost feels hot? Like, have you ever stuck your hand in snow before?
Devin, I have held pounds of dry ice in my bare hands before.
Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Your ideas are almost so smart, they're stupid.
Yes.
That's the way I think of it.
I'll take that. It overcomplicates things that have been... It's like the underlying reasons behind things.
I'd really love to spend some time this episode.
Okay.
Talk about ideas that are truly stupid.
Okay. I see them. Yeah. I have the notes pulled up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at them, and you haven't let me look at them.
No, and I'd still like you not to. And okay, I'd like to have a quick disclaimer here.
Okay.
If by any chance I'm talking about your idea here with what we're about to discuss here, I am sorry. These are the first three things that came up on my list when I was searching through them.
Okay.
So to be full transparency, we're going to be talking about Kickstarter projects here.
Okay.
So what better place to go for fresh ideas?
Fresh ideas. That's a word. They're about as fresh as a week old banana.
Then Kickstarter.
Okay. I am ready. I've been exclusively banned from looking at any of this yet, and I want to. Because Devin has put together a list of some of just the most premium ideas on Kickstarter that he was able to find.
I did this by searching, specifically the technology filter.
Okay.
And then I sorted by newest.
Okay.
So these are ones that are just purely fresh created on Kickstarter.
Right.
When I opened it up, and then I picked from that list.
Okay.
So it's not like I Googled like...
So are these guaranteed to be stupid, or are they... We'll find out.
In my opinion, they're either ridiculous.
Okay.
Based off a business model of companies that have failed.
Okay.
Or just why.
Okay. I love just why. That's my favorite type of idea.
The one thing I will say, though, which is nice, because Kickstarter doesn't actually pay out any of the money to projects unless they reach their funding goal. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
unlike GoFundMe, which pays out as you
GoFundMe and Indiegogo too. Indiegogo will sometimes. So the first one we have here.
Should I click it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I click it?
Before I talk about it, click on it and just look at the image.
Okay, it's called Freedom Backpack. The backpack for traveling even in... Oh my god!
So
I want this!
So, heads up for anybody listening. I'm going to have links to the products we're talking about here in the show notes, just so you can see what we're looking at here.
Oh my lord! I want this!
So
estimated delivery is next year! What?
So what we're looking at here is an umbrella that comes out of a backpack.
No, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. You said this is going to be a stupid idea. This is a wearable umbrella. You are lying if you said you've never wanted this.
So it's funny that you said that you really want this.
Yeah.
Because I was literally going to describe this as, if you were going to invent a product.
This would be it. This is it. This is the absolute highest level of thinking possible. What do you get for buying this? $5 or what is this little shape next to it? Five something?
That is a pound sign.
That's not the pound sign. It's like a C.
Oh, no, that'd be the euro.
Okay, pledge €5, or that's pretty close to a dollar, right? I think a euro is kind of close to a dollar. It's the pound that's way off. Can you look that up real quickly for me here? Because I don't want to sound dumb going into this. I need an idea of how much these people are actually asking for.
No, €5 is $5.50.
Okay, so pretty close to a dollar.
No.
Yeah.
€5 is equal to $5.52.
Yeah, so it's pretty close.
Oh, you're saying €1 is equivalent to a dollar.
Yes.
I thought you were saying €5 equals $1.
No, $1 is about €1.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so €5 or more, and you get Freedom stickers. God damn it! Every single company gives... I need to full pause this entire episode right now.
Nope.
To talk about stickers. God damn it. Every single company is
can
like,
you stop yelling?
You want to know just the absolute most useless thing that Kyle, we could send you.
Kyle, I'm gonna need you to relax.
I need this. I've been waiting for an opportunity to talk about this for so long. You gotta let me have this.
I mean,
why?
It could be stickers. It could be argued that stickers are also a dumb idea. The amount. Do you remember when I just get random like care packages in the mail? Because okay, so as a business,
yes,
we sign up for a lot of different services. And correct. Stuff like that. Every single service pretty much we've signed up for has sent us stickers.
Every single one. Stickers. It's like, hey, we're so glad you're here. Here, have this thing that cost us literally a third of a cent to make.
I still have a sticker for like an email app we chose to use for like 6 months that one time.
Yeah. I got, you know what, of all the things, I got stickers with a GoPro purchase a while back, and I stuck it. I thought it would be cool. I put it on the back of my car, and it melted.
Ew.
It melted because Florida's so damn hot.
I guess these companies just kind of hope you'll like advertise for them because that's their
what
thing.
What am I going to do with it?
They want you. So what a lot of people do is they'll put them on their laptop.
Okay, cool. Like I can think if I'm going to put a sticker on my laptop, I would want it something that like relates to me.
Yes.
Not and like my personality, not a company.
I use Gmail.
We need to stop stickers. I think it's just the dumbest idea out there. Everyone gives you stickers and no one wants them. Disney World gives little kids stickers. And as you grow up, it never stops. Everywhere you go, there's free stickers for everything.
I think at the end, again, it's they're really cheap and it's the hope of free advertising at the end of the day.
Just stop. They're going to get thrown out. You're wasting money.
I agree. I'd never put stickers on anything myself.
Awful. It's like when you open your candy bag on Halloween
and you find an apple.
Like, yeah, like an apple or like a bottle of water.
Or candy corn.
Stickers are the candy corn of the business world.
Yep.
Is what we're... Okay. Anyway, going back to this awesome product here.
Okay. So this is an example of what I call a item nobody needs.
I need this.
This is why it's a bad idea.
I arguably need
this. Do you want to know why I know you don't need this?
Why?
Because you have never thought to need something like this until you saw a picture of it.
You know how much cooler life would be if you just... didn't have to hold your umbrella?
Kyle, you don't hold an umbrella now.
It's because I just get wet because I don't like holding
an umbrella. So why would this be any better?
But I can hold an umbrella and not hold an umbrella at the same time.
This isn't going to keep you dry.
It will. It goes over me like a normal umbrella does.
Yeah, and normal umbrellas also don't keep you dry.
They kind of do.
No.
They get you a little drippy on the edges.
I don't think I've ever been out in public and I was like, wow, you know, I'm so glad I brought an umbrella because you know why? As soon as I'm no longer out in the rain, it's bigger hassle to deal with the now soaking wet umbrella than it would have been just to be wet myself.
Arguable, I used an umbrella a lot in college, and I would help my friends get from point A to point B because I was the only one that carried an umbrella.
I will say, can you just imagine, like, you're just sitting in class, everyone's wearing their backpack, it's pouring rain outside, you just see someone walk out. Pull the lever and an umbrella just like extends.
That would be the most swag move you could achieve in college. There is no way you're not getting invited to any parties there.
I wouldn't just do a double take, but I'd do like a triple take if I saw that.
I would steal their backpack.
Though, how heavy is this? Because like, do you see this? Does she have a strap around her waist for the backpack in this picture? Or is that part of her clothes? I can't tell.
I can't really, you know what, it is strapped around her waist.
How heavy is that?
It's gotta be quite a chunker if it's gotta be strapped around.
Do you also have to have this like sized for you? Like what if you're taller?
Yeah, fair. I guess if you have just like a really long neck.
Like if you're tall enough, do your eyes just like get encompassed by the umbrella?
Well, I mean, it looks like it leans back a little bit. So they've clearly circumvented that issue by ensuring that you get dripped all over your front.
Or like, or when you put the umbrella away, like, can that backpack be used for anything else?
Oh, hey, you know, I just brought up the FAQ here.
Okay.
It apparently is mostly designed to be used for photography. So like, if you want to take photographs in the rain, you're protected and can use both of your hands.
I'm so glad they found a way of justifying this extremely strange product. Why wouldn't you then just have a like an umbrella mounted to your like tripod? I feel like that would make more sense.
Or a tripod and hold an umbrella.
Yeah.
Either one kind of works for the most part. This also doesn't stop the issue of like crosswind. or any other things that can get you wet.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Umbrellas aren't even that effective to begin with.
Yeah. I'm so confused. Hold on. Let me pull up the highest tier. Well, here's what they offer. What? Hold on. I'm sorry. What? If you spend 77 euro, not only do you get the backpack, but you also get the umbrella. They're not together.
Is it the point?
These are two separate things.
Can we also talk about Kyle? Go up to the top.
Yeah.
Look at their goal.
Yeah, 60. Oh, $13,000.
No, but not even. It's $13,218.
That's a very specific.
They're like, oh, no. We can't ask for flat amount. People will question that. If we do a very specific number, nobody's going to question how we came to it here.
And
it
looked calculated. So far, somebody has donated $60.
It looks like two people have.
Two people have donated $60, which is really weird because that's not an equal amount of two different tiers.
Have you ever backed a Kickstarter project, Kyle?
No, never, actually.
I've only done two, and they were friends of mine. But I'm just like, I would never come on Kickstarter and be like, I'd love to spend some money today.
Personally. I mean, if it takes off and it's a cool idea, you can usually get things for cheaper than like what you would
when they hit the... Yeah, but that's the key word. If it takes off.
Right, exactly. I'm so confused. They specifically mention this. On the highest tier, you will also receive the umbrella suitable for the Freedom Backpack. So what you're telling me is not only do you sell such a stupid product, but you sell it separately.
Ah, so you do admit it's a stupid product.
Well, now that I look into this more, the price tag makes it stupid. But you need a special umbrella suitable for it. Like, if you're not going to sell them together, you need to make sure that it's like a universal umbrella holder. You know what? Here, you know what? Do you have a backpack? Is there a backpack? There is not. I took my backpack out of my house. You know the little side pockets that you put water bottles?
Yes.
Put your umbrella in that. And then there you go. Those hands things, free.
They're not really like...
$12 at Walgreens.
They're not really tall enough to hold an umbrella.
Duck.
Like fall out.
Duck or pay $77 and get this thing.
Or just don't because I don't need one anyway.
I would... Okay.
All right. So...
That's... Anyway.
Yeah. I'd love to move on to the next
one. All right. We can move on to the next one. I'm riled up. I'm ready to go now.
So this next one...
Okay. Can I click it?
Not yet.
Okay.
So it's not a stupid idea per se.
Okay.
It's a stupid idea because this is based off a business model that recently failed.
Okay.
Our Pride and Joy Movie Pass.
Can I click it now?
You can click on
it. Okay, I can click it now. All right, I'm pulling it up.
So go ahead and look at it and tell me about what your initial impressions are.
Flicks, a better way of going to the movies. A movie subscription website which users can watch a movie each week for a low monthly price and also earn points for free movie visits. This sounds like such a construed business model off the bat. You are streaming movies, but then you are also allowing people to earn free movies in actual theaters?
No, but see, if you go ahead and scroll down the how it works section, it's not even like a normal like website. They're describing it as an exclusive, mobile-only, invite-only service. So like, they're advertising a low monthly price, but then also saying how it's invite only? Like, what are you trying to appeal to here?
What on earth? So, you get a card. The card is used to hold the funds for your ticket purchase.
Yeah, that's a movie pass.
Have to go to a physical theater and check in.
Yeah, that's how MoviePass worked.
And I'm aware, but... And it's $18 a month. Okay, that's not horrible.
That's about the price of AMC Stubs, I want to say.
Right, but you don't get any sort of free movies with them. You just get, like, points on movies. A person that normally goes to the movies once a week will pay upwards of $50 a month. Correct. Service is ad-supported.
Yeah, so that's what I saw. I don't understand... how they expect to earn $18 a month of revenue from just a user that's wanting to check into to the movie app, right?
Right.
So it's like, because think of it this way. If someone's checking into a movie, we'll say they're going once a week for a month.
Right.
They're seeing what? Probably four different pages on that? Mm-hmm. How many ads do you think you'd have to put on those pages to get $18 of value?
Well, it says one. They will have to watch a short video ad prior to purchasing tickets.
Okay, so even if they watch that video, though, there's no company out there that's going to pay a high enough CPM to offset that. Do you really think there's going to be a company out there that's going to pay $10 per view?
I am so confused. This is the saddest part of this whole campaign. How I plan to use the funds.
Oh, no.
So just for reference, they're asking for $15,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
They're going to use $15,000 to get a dedicated server box. Already mistake. Cloud hosting. Number two, mobile app creation. You're going to use 15 grand to get a whole app set up and advertising and marketing and have reserve funds left over. I don't think so, dude. Going rate for app development is what, $120, $140 an hour?
Even beyond that, I just don't see, like, how the reason why I picked this one. Yeah. Again, it's not just completely ruin other people's ideas.
It's proven that it's stupid by MoviePass.
It's who sees MoviePass failing and goes, "Ah, you know, let's make another one.
Let's do that again."
Like, I just can't understand. If you did market research, like, being in kind of the entertainment space ourselves, there is no company that's going to pay $10 per view for an advertisement.
Yeah, no.
There isn't. Like, if we're talking CPMs here, a $10 CPM would be considered a lot. Right. And that's per thousand views.
I'm confused here because it says the card will be used to transfer funds for their ticket purchase. So are they still paying for the movie?
Yeah, no. So that's exactly how MoviePass works. So when you checked into a MoviePass movie, when you signed up for an account, MoviePass sent you a debit card.
Yeah.
When you checked in, that debit card would be activated with about $15.
Okay.
So you go to the movie, you bought the ticket with the MoviePass card.
Okay.
That was MoviePass paying for your ticket.
Right.
The way he's describing it is the exact same way.
No, it looks like they're describing it as you pay the $18 a month, but you still pay for your ticket.
No, that's not how I'm reading it.
Okay, I might be just very confused.
Because if you scroll down, he literally says reserve funds. That's what's used to pay for people's tickets.
Oh, I see.
So you're just misreading it here.
I'm so confused. This account will be replenished with revenue from sponsors. Eventually, as revenue increases, this account will be replenished more and more until the site becomes profitable. So you're sponsoring... Okay, I see what he's banking on. So he's banking on web traffic and sponsors to pay for advertising campaigns.
But no advertiser's ever going to get a return on this. Yeah, like, no advertiser's going to pay enough to make him break even.
Right.
And no advertiser, and if advertisers are paying enough for him to break even, advertisers aren't going to get their money worth
right.
from it.
Or people have to just be arbitrarily watching ads without, like, going to movies.
Which
is not going to happen.
Yeah, there's literally websites out there that pay people for that. And, well, that's popular. It still only caters to a certain demographic. Can we just talk about the fact that there's a pledging $1,000 section?
Is there really?
Yep.
Is there really?
The ultimate package.
Oh, no. Here it is. What do you get with this?
It includes a social shout-out.
Oh, gee whiz. Exposure! There we go!
A tote bag.
Oh, there's the second most useless item that companies give away.
A baseball cap.
Woo! We're on a roll here.
A polo shirt.
Okay, you know, kind of, I'm up with that.
And on top of all that, you get the free use of the website after launch, up to 2 movies each week.
So you never pay, ever.
So you're paying $1,000 in the hopes that the service will survive, and then you just get 2 movies each week. For as long as the service is around. So MoviePass was run for 2 years, and they had, a lot more than $15,000 raised. I won't say that $15,000 is what MoviePass went through in an hour.
For the record, that $1,000 breaks down to having to have that card for 55 months to make it worth it.
Which is longer than MoviePass was around.
5 years. That's longer. Almost.
That's double MoviePass's lifetime.
That is ridiculous. There's no way that anybody's going to get that value out of it. I'm sorry. All right.
So, yep.
What's our last one here? We got one more.
So this one actually segues well. Okay. This is the ad messenger.
Okay.
Feel free to click on that.
Okay.
I picked this one because we just talked about ads in the last one.
Okay. Ad messenger.
This is literally paying you money to click ads.
Okay. An app that lets you earn money by tapping on ads. Each ad is worth 5 cents. You'll be able to receive up to 60 ads per day. Okay. So what does that break down to? 0.05 times 60. You can make a whopping $3 a day? Oh, sign me up!
It literally says in the image here, it breaks down the notifications and the conversion per day.
Why? Why would you want to earn $3 a day?
Well, so the thing is... You
know how much time that's going to take?
Well, the reason I thought this was interesting is because I feel like this is coming from someone that has never looked into ad policies.
Yeah.
So one of the things, though, if you're signing up for, say, Google AdSense, one of the policies you agree to is you do not ask people to click on ads.
Right.
You just don't.
Yeah, you can get banned for it.
This is an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because incentivizing people to click on ads doesn't increase any sort of necessary conversion. Advertisers aren't getting any benefit off someone that clicks their ad just to close the page. It's, if anything, it's skewing statistics.
Right, exactly.
I just don't understand. Like, I saw this because I'm like, ah, it's essentially the same business model as the last one. This one just gives you money instead of movie tickets.
Right. Well, this one's even better, actually, because if you look at their pledges, they have pledge $1.
Yep.
That's literally their only tier. You can pledge $1 or more and you get access to the free app.
Uh-huh.
What an incentive.
Gain the opportunity to earn real money.
Gain the opportunity to use the app that we're advertising. What is their campaign? Hold on, let's see. Earn money by simply tapping ads. When you receive an ad, it will be sent to you via notification and will simultaneously be displayed on the home screen of the app. For every ad you receive, 5 cents. Oh my gosh.
So essentially, literally what it sounds...
It's live! It exists! It's available on the Google Play Store already!
Kickstarter isn't an investor.
We're seeking funding so we can tweak the app a bit more. The app makes it simple for and quick for the everyday person to earn a few bucks a day to spend on whatever they like. Yeah, a whole $3. How long does this take?
I feel like this is... Well, for one thing, what I noticed is that I noticed that it's only on Android, which means it probably is against App Store guidelines for iOS. I feel like it's just, like, giving ad revenue to, like the ad revenue he's being paid and just giving a portion of that to the people that clicking the ads.
That's exactly what's happening.
But I just have to wonder how many ad networks he has to make accounts for. Like, do you think he has to, like, end every day, like, oh, man, I was banned from this ad network. Time to activate a new one.
That's probably what all that money's for, to pay people to keep making accounts for him.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. So here's the thing. On a yearly basis, 365 days a year, you make $1,095 a year additional by using this app.
But what?
That doesn't sound like a bad amount of money for not doing anything.
You know what this makes me want to do?
Huh.
Download this app on a bunch of emulated Android devices and run a robot. That just clicks the ads for me.
For multiple fake accounts?
For 10 different emulated devices at once.
You'd be like, you've seen that picture of the guy that's playing Pokemon Go in, like, Japan?
Yeah.
He's got, like, 80 phones just rigged up? That'd be you.
But, like, what would stop a bot from just doing this?
I mean, probably nothing. Oh my gosh, hold on. Here's their help the world message. Because a lot of Kickstarter, they allow you to give like a motivational. Our app will put money in the hand of the people, which in turn will help boost the economy.
Well, I will say, I admire their vision. I'm glad they have a goal. I don't know if this app is the way to help that vision. But at least they have good intentions.
This is phenomenal.
Having done this segment of the episode, I almost really want to do like a full Kickstarter episode at some point. Guys, if that sounds interesting to you, like, let us know. I feel like it'd be kind of fun.
I feel like that'd be better paired with like a visual. Though.
Well, that's the thing. I'm going to leave all the links to these products in our show notes.
I guess, yeah.
So people are going to be able to check out what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to look through things. This is absolute banger ideas here.
I just figured it'd be such a good fit because we were talking about two of Kyle's genius ideas in this episode. I want to make him feel a little bit better about himself.
I think I'm going to back this backpack umbrella.
You're not going to do that. No.
Nope. I kind of want it.
Kyle, if I see you walk in the house with a backpack umbrella, I'm throwing it away.
Oh, never mind. I forgot. You don't get the umbrella with it. I don't want to just get the backpack.
Just get the umbrella.
They don't have that as an option.
Why not?
You can get the backpack, you can get a custom colored backpack, or you can get the backpack and the umbrella. absolutely amazing